Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Am I on? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah, I'm the music major.
Tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break. Your urn feels like it's about to shake, and you've taken all that you can take. Just remember where your help comes from. Realize you got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Praise Him anyway.
Right there all the time, all the time. He would never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. And we thank God this morning for another week ending, another Friday morning. We're grateful unto Almighty God. He has brought us through another week, and we are grateful unto Him. We appreciate Him today, and we love Him. There is none like Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, yeah. It's a heat wave. Yes, Brother Louis, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. And it almost rained here every day here lately. But we thank God for good weather. Could be so much worse. But He has blessed us in Florida. And so we thank Him, we thank Him. And I just can't help myself. He's good. He's good all the time, and He's good to us. And so we want to thank him as often as we can. Today we're going to take a listen again to Pastor R.C. Bakes. And he's helping relationships. Whether you're married or single, he's helping you out. And I know a lot of women that's already married, they don't want to hear a lot of things because they in love with whoever they're married to. And sometimes women are in relationships with a man who's never going to marry them, but they found themselves in love with him and they can't cut loose. And they let the man dog them or treat them bad and all this kind of thing. But today, R.C. Blakes is going to teach us three keys to a woman discerning a man. Three keys to a woman discerning a man. And you might want to get your pad and pen so you can write this out. And this will help you. We listened to the message the last week, five things. And then he shared with us about a true king and a true queen, you know. And so we want to listen to these things because that will help us. It will help us. Many are in bad relationships, been in bad relationships because we didn't know. We thought this is the way it goes. I did, you know. I thought you can just choose somebody who you liked and who you wanted to be with. And so I often, you know, tell people, yeah, I chose that curly-haired, green-eyed monster. And because I didn't wait on God, you know, he appeared to like me. I liked him. And I'm looking at his outer appearance. Never considered his heart. Never considered what he went through as a child. None of this. They tell you to go to the table. And what can you bring to the table? And some people check his background and check his record and let me tell you what you check. You check what's in him here. You check that heart of his. Because in the beginning of every relationship, oh, it's hunky-dory. It's wonderful. He's doing all the wonderful things you like. And it appears you're doing the wonderful things he's like. And when you get on in there, you find out some stuff that you never would have thought about. And this is why we allow God to lead and guide us in relationships. Yeah, we allow God to do it. And sometimes we want it so bad, we think we're hearing from God. We're not hearing from God, we're hearing from our flesh. And you get in that thing, and years later, sometimes it turns bad. And so we have to make our calling and election sure. And my dad taught me this, if it starts off right, it will end up right. But it have to start right. And what he meant by that is you have to make sure that God is really leading and guiding. And once you get the relationship going, you got to make sure God stay in the head of that relationship and put nothing before God. I see so many women, they say they're saved, sanctified, they got the Holy Ghost, they got the Holy Spirit, and they know God. But look, you put that man before God. Yeah, you kept him before God, and we can't do that. We got to keep God first in everything. Yeah, I believe it's God, the husband or the wife, then the children, then church. Yeah, in that order now, in that order. Because what happened is this, he will have no other God before him. He's not going to do it. And we get comfortable in relationships and things and forget God, you know, forget to cover our children in prayer. Yeah, forget when we go to church to go to the altar asking God to complete us and to help us. A lot of times we jump into relationships before we heal. We just got out of one and we ain't give God no time. We right in another. And some people got, you know, separated you from men, women. And no, that won't do. I got to have a husband. Some men, God has separated you from women. Oh, no, I got to have a wife. So you put these people before God. And you, God is trying to do something in you and for you. But you're so busy, you want what you want, you can't let go. You're willing to be treated like a dog to stay in that relationship. That's not God. That's not God. God is not giving a man who's going to hurt you, dog you, treat you less than. No, that's not what he's going to do. And God is not going to give you a man that you ruling and reigning over the man. He got to do what you say. If he don't do what you say, then you putting him out. You're taking this from him. You're doing that. You're sleeping on the couch. You're sleeping in another room. That's not God. That's the flesh. And we have messed up from the beginning. The word said you got to do benevolence unto your husband. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. See, a lot of people don't even understand marriage yet. They want it because they're feeling with the natural. They're not feeling in the spirit. They haven't considered God and his word concerning marriage. Yeah. But we have to do all of this. If we look at Matthew 22:2, look what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king which made a marriage for his son. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. I may never heard of pre-done marriages, you know, where the marriage is already ordained. The parents find the right people for their children because they don't want their children to be hurt. They want this marriage to last throughout eternity. Yeah. Looking at John 2:2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Matthew 22:9 says, go ye therefore into the highways and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. Yeah, these people was having a wedding and the guest wasn't showing up that they invited. Yeah. And sometimes guests don't show up because they don't agree with the marriage. They see the ugliness in it before it happens. And they say, no, I've been there and done that. I'm not going over there in that because that's not even right. Yeah. So, you know, we just got to pray and make our calling and election sure with Almighty God. Make sure we're doing the right thing. We're going in the right direction. And again, a lot of people, they don't like the truth. They don't want to hear that. You're not married, Barbara. You don't understand. Are you kidding me? You're playing with my emotion? Been there and done that. After that one, I decided I don't think I need another one. Because look, I divorced him. I thought he had divorced me. And even in divorce, I couldn't get another husband unless this one died or, you know, he had been caught in adultery. And he had been caught in adultery, so I had the right to divorce him, but I don't have the right to continue with another man to my marriage. I done tried or I done thought, no. It take a whole lot for me to stay on the right track. Two of us together who agreeing we could do this. But God has not sent one my way who we can agree and do this on. Yeah, he thinking one way, I'm thinking another. Now we got to have the same mind. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. We both got to continue always to want to please God and live according to the word of God. Daily, we can't switch it out. I've seen marriages, they start off so beautiful. Yeah, I've seen a marriage that was 10 years in the making. And the man decided he wanted something different. So he come home and he told the wife, hey, look, I don't want to do this with you no more. He didn't say he didn't want to be married no more. He said, I don't want to do this with you no more. You're thinking this way, I'm thinking that way. I want better in my life. I want to go to school and get a degree, and I want to live the corporate life. And she went to school, you know, and she was trying to get a degree, still in school to this day. Never graduated that I know of. But she went on to school because she felt that would please him. But he wanted her to get a job. That's what he wanted, so she could help with bills and, you know, stuff like that. All the responsibility of the children was on her. Yeah, and he wanted her to get a job and help with the bills. See, you got to know what you're doing. And you got to talk about things way before marriage. You make budgets and all of this, and you decide, you know, what's going to be purchased first in the marriage, and, you know, who's going to work and who's not going to work. And if you're a man, if I was a man, I would not marry if I didn't have money. I just wouldn't do it. I would have to have residual income coming in always, because that's one of the biggest problems a lot of times with marriages. One have more than the other, and the one that have the most think they should rule the most, whether it's a man or a woman, and that's not God. No matter what the woman make or what the woman get, the man is the head, like Christ is the head of the church and died for it. The next thing is this. When you marry, you can't keep separate accounts. If you marry this man and you own a home and he don't, he got to be on your home. Because if not, that's showing God, I don't trust him. And God is saying, well, if you don't trust him, what are you marrying him for? You expecting something bad to happen. God know right then and there, like you do, it's your flesh. It's not God. I mean, you bringing God in on it and saying God this and God that, but he hear what you say, but he's looking at what you're doing. And what you're doing and what you're saying are two different things. So we have to be careful. If you're single this morning, please be careful. Yeah, and get in that word concerning marriage. Get in that word concerning married. Get in that word concerning single and find out what it is God is talking about. Me, I prayed to the Lord for what I wanted in a husband. I even told the Lord what I want him coming to say. So it gave me boundaries. It gave me a guideline to go by. And if this don't happen, I know that's not God. And every time, I've tried it, y'all. I have tried it for myself. Prove me this day. I've tried that. The guy come, he don't say what I told God I wanted him to say. He's not who I said I wanted him to be. So I'm testing it to see if God heard what I said and if this is what he's going to do for me. I tested it. And every time, it come up wrong. Every time the warning come early, you hear this? You see that? No, ma'am, that's not him. And when I tell you, I don't walk for the heels, I run to the heels. Yeah, I get away from that. I get out of that. Yeah, I got one, we became friends. We're friends today. And I often thought about it, because some days he talked, you know, like he got God and he going to go all the way. But then all of a sudden he go to talking out his flesh. I said, yeah, you got to hold the rein, Bobby. You may as well let that go. That will never be. That's not for you. I let it go and keep the friendship intact. Yeah. Never going back to think about that thing again. No marriage, no relationship. Oh, no, sisters and brothers. Because this is a lifelong. This is for the rest of your natural life until God come back or you die. And you get in there with the wrong one and you get a divorce, guess what? I promise you, you are not supposed to remarry. I don't care if you catch him in adultery. If he's beating your brain out, you can divorce him, get out of there, but you can't take on another husband. You're not supposed to. Read your word now. Study your word. Ask God about it. Because God is not going to go back on his word. Many times that's our flesh. And we're trying to incorporate God in on our flesh, and most times it don't work out right. It caused hurt and pain because we didn't honor the word of God. He said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And we see it being done all the time. The churches allow it. You know, they don't tell you, hey, you've been married, you divorced them, you can't remarry, sister, you can't remarry, brother. Because we got to make our calling and election sure the first time. Yeah, we can't jump in and out of marriages. See, when we were single and in the world, we jump in and out of relationships like this boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend. He mess up, I'm going to get him. She mess up, I'm going to get her. Yeah, we did that in the world. But when we come to God, we got to honor his word 100%. He won't take nothing less. I know many of us heard 99 and a half won't do. Lord, I'm striving to make 100. And even if I get to 99 and a half, it won't do. I got to have the whole 100. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name, because whatever choice you make, it's between you and your God. It's my job to tell you the truth and to let it go. And when you hear the truth, you hear God's word, you harden not your heart, or you can harden your heart, or you can think, well, God, you said you can do it any way you want. I'm telling you what the scripture says. Yeah, not what I want and not what I said. Because I promise you, I'm taking care of me and the things when it comes to a man. I'm good. When I get ready to go out the door, I don't have to get permission from nobody. When I get ready to fast, I don't have to get permission from nobody. If I leave his stay gone a month, when I come back, the house gonna be happy to have me. I don't have no fight. Where you been? While I'm away, I don't have to keep making phone calls, sending emails, texting nobody. I'm good, because it's me and Jesus. Apostle Paul said he wished that we all could be like him, but nonetheless, see, because of that flesh, he told us what? It's better to marry than to burn. It's better to marry than to burn in your flesh. It's better to marry than to burn in hell. So he said, go ahead and get married if that's your choice. Yeah. But if we learn to walk in the spirit while we're single, we will understand God is there if we believe his word. And I promise you, he would take care of that flesh. He'll help you to bring that flesh under subjection because you want to do what his word says. Yet, on the other hand, he put marriage together. Marriage is honorable in his sight, in the bed undefiled. That's what he said. But we got to do it right. We got to do it his way. Not the way our flesh tell us to do it, and not the way the world designed it. But we got to do it God's way, because I promise, if you do it the right way, you're going to be married forever, throughout eternity. Yeah, what I mean by that, until God comes back. Until you die, you have that same partner, learning about them more and more and more. I didn't know this yesterday about John. I didn't know this yesterday about Mary. I've learned something else about my husband, about my wife. But many times they are your property. You belong to your husband and your husband belong to you. You belong to your wife and your wife belong to you. But many times we get it twisted. Yeah, we don't understand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God that although we get it twisted, although we mess up, we thank God he's on our side in spite of us. He's yet looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. But we don't want to just do it any old kind of way because God is forgiving and God understands. Now, we don't want to do that. Yeah. Because many say, I'm saved. I'm this, I'm that. But well, how you get caught up into that, sugar? Was you letting God lead you? Nope. I was allowing my flesh to leave. I was going through the motions. Many are in church. Many go to church faithfully. Many preaching, huh? Teaching Sunday school. All kind of stuff. Yet they didn't understand. So they got caught up into a trap. And the devil live at married folk house. I want you to hear me. Another thing I got to share is if you divorce and remarry, you're causing that new husband or wife to commit adultery. I promise that's what the word said. I didn't say it. We're going to find it. But listen, we're going to pray and come back for one more song of the morning. And after this song, we're going to share a little bit more. And today we're coming in with Pastor R.C. Blakes. And his message is 3 keys to a woman discerning a man. 3 keys to a woman discerning a man. And you can tell when people really want to do it God's way. They're not going to fight against the word of God. No, they're going to hold on to that word and walk accordingly. Yeah. But some people don't want to hear it because they really can't take the truth. Some people can't handle that truth because it hurt the flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we come this morning thanking you for another weekend. We thank you for another Friday morning, God. Oh, we coming into the weekend. And Father, you blessed us up until this present time. And we realize this morning there's nothing too hard for you to do. We come this morning bow down before you in humbleness. We come boldly before the throne of grace to make our petition known unto you. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done already this morning. Thank you for what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do. You're Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher power. We honor you this morning with our lips, with our heart, with our being, everything that we have. We honor you this morning. But Father, you're more than worthy. We thank you today for your word. But Father, you gave us your word to keep us safe, to keep us happy, to keep us joyful, to keep us peaceful no matter what come our way. And Father, we come this morning before you to ask for forgiveness of all our sins, all our wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And Father, today, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask this morning that you will wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us today, O God, from all unrighteousness, and give us a clean heart. And renew the right spirit within us today in the name of Jesus. Lead and guide us in the right path today for your name's sake. And Father, we thank you this morning for forgiving us. We thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. Oh, we thank you for a clean slate, a brand new walk in you this morning. Oh, we thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering. Hallelujah. Thank you for the forgiveness this morning. All glory, hallelujah, unto you, his majesty. All we thank you for you're on our side today, Father, in spite of us. All you know the very intent of our hearts. Father, your eyes are in every place. You're beholding the evil and the good. Lord, you know what we was intending to do and what we wasn't intending to do. And we thank you this morning that you look beyond our fault and yet continue to meet our needs. We come this morning, Father, first for married couples. And Father, we ask that you would bless today like never before the marriages, God. Lord, those especially that you put together. God, we ask this morning that you would move in a mighty way. You know what each partner needs. You know what the man needs as well as the woman. And God, I ask that you would fix it. And Lord, bring them together unto your word and let them receive your word this morning and walk accordingly in the name of Jesus. Oh, we bring those that are single this morning, those that are desiring husbands and wives. God, we ask that you would move upon them. Teach them your way. Give them a spirit of learning. Give them a spirit of studying that God, they would get in your word and they would pray so that they can get what they need so that they can marry and the marriage will last forever in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you today, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you to do. I bring every caller and every listener before you this morning, Father, asking that you would bless every household represented here, every family member, every friend, those that are near and far today, oh God. Move by your spirit. Father, today is Friday. Some people get paid today, but they don't have enough to match the bills, to match what they owe. And Father, your words say, owe no man. I ask this morning that, Father, you would stretch the budget of finances in their life. I ask that you would open financial doors for them and make ways where they see no ways. For your Almighty God, again, that have all power. Father, there's nothing too hard for you to do. We ask this morning by faith, believing you and trusting you that every need is going to be met at every household today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning for being for us. Your word says if you be for us, Father, you're more than the whole world against us. All you know your thoughts towards us, nothing evil, nothing bad. And Father, that you're going to bring us to an expected end. And we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord. Father, we come asking that you would heal the sick here, those that are not feeling well, those that have been diagnosed with different things. God, you made the body. You know all about it. You know how to perform surgery without a knife. God, you know how to take out what shouldn't be in us and put in us what should be. You know how to train our mouth to eat healthy, train our mind that we desire what is good for our bodies. We come this morning asking, Lord, that you would help us all that have problems with food, that love food, God, that you would help us to eat to live and not live to eat, in the name of Jesus. For you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you this morning. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And, Father, we believe there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. And we press in this morning for total healing from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. In the name of Jesus, we ask this morning, Father, that you would heal everyone that's been diagnosed with COVID. And, Lord, that's exactly what it is. Lord, variances and deltas and whatever they're bringing forth, God, we ask that you would heal this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that let them walk out safe and sound, breathing better than they've ever breathed in their life. You made the body, Lord. You know how to put it back together in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that don't know the words of prayer, those that haven't believed in you, Lord, I ask that you would come with your healing power and allow them to know that you heal their bodies. And without you, they can do nothing. Lord, use it as a calling card today to save your people in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you right now. We thank you. And Lord, those that are getting vaccinated, God, I ask that you would help. But Lord, we don't know what it is. But God, you know. And Lord, I trust you this morning to keep everyone who has taken the vaccination safe. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. In the name of Jesus. Lord, many did it and they don't understand what your word said concerning that. Because when they heard, they didn't seek you. They sought the natural. Lord, they sought what man said. But help this morning in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. We need you like never before in the name of Jesus. We come today, Father, again asking that you would bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of every military, God. Our every branch this morning in the name of Jesus. We come this morning asking that you would bless our brothers and sisters overseas. You know what they stand in the need of. Ask that you would heal Michael this morning. Lord, whatever his body is telling him, God, we know that you can tell it different. And his body must line up with your word today. With your stripes, he's already healed in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning. Father, we call Naima out to you this morning. Touch and heal her body in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people everywhere, praying for others in the name of Jesus. Bless preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you, Father, and love for your people. Bless today like no other day. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We come this morning, Father, asking that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds. But, Father, we need to be in the right spirit. Oh, give us a spirit of obedience today, oh God, like never before. Obedience unto your voice. Obedience unto your word today. In the name of Jesus. Continue to bless America, Father, and the leadership of America. Have your way, oh God. Lead and guide us in the right path and give us a spirit of following. Give us a spirit of following your leadership in the name of Jesus. We thank you today. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Feed us here until we want no more. Open every spiritual ear and every spiritual eye here this morning to hear and to see you in all of this today. So that they will be blessed beyond measure in the name of Jesus. Give us a spirit to accept the truth, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and all the praise. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let your spirit flow today, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let nothing fall on bad ground today. Don't let no roots or nothing choke it out of your people. God, give them a spirit of truth this morning. Give them a spirit of acceptance of the truth in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bow down and worship unto you. Father, from a sincere heart today, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory again. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited right there. I'm excited right there. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I like all that kind of carrying on right there. Lord, I just want to thank you for blessing me, because he deserves the glory and the honor and all the praise. All worship belongs to him. He made us and made us for his pleasure. He made the heavens and the earth. And so no matter what we go through, no matter what our situations are, we should lift him up. He's worthy this morning. And we should just want to thank him and thank him. And we can't thank him enough, because he has done so much for us. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. I wanted to look at Matthew, I believe it is. 19. And I want to look at it right quick. Now, if you go to the book of Matthew and look at Matthew, the whole chapter 22, he's talking about marriage over there, but really he's talking about his kingdom and oh, look at here. He's talking about likening things from the natural to the spirit of his kingdom, of marriage and this kind of thing. So if you take your time, if we have time, we'll read it. But if not, when you get some spare time, go over and take a listen or look at that. Because if you go to King James Bible online, it have a way that you can listen to it if you don't just, you know, particularly have time to sit down to read it. But this might be another Bible study for you, or another listen of the word for you. And take a look over there. And if you go to Matthew chapter 19, it's going to tell you about that flesh. It's going to tell you that y'all become one and that kind of thing. So I just want to read this, and then we are moving along. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these things, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." Hallelujah. He was in the healing business. And we thank God this morning for being in the healing business. And not only will he heal you physically, but he can heal you spiritually. And we all need a spiritual healing. I heard Luther Bond say, "The spirit fall on me fresh. God, make me over again." Hallelujah. "Wash me again, your precious blood. Make me to be yours. Give me a spirit of obedience only unto you. Open my spiritual eyes and ears. Lord, don't let me be listening and hearing stuff that's not you. But God, let me hear, let me listen, let me read your word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing your word. The more I hear it, the better I'm going to be. The more I'm going to believe." I read it out loud. Yeah, I read my Bible out loud. Faith cometh by hearing. Hallelujah. So look. In verse 3 of chapter 19 of Matthew, it says, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and said unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife every cause?" Is it lawful to put his wife away for every cause? Now, this is what Jesus said. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" He didn't make nothing in between. Now, at the beginning, he created Adam and Eve. Well, he made them. "And for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one. The two of them shall become one flesh." That's what the word says. I can listen at mama. I can't listen at daddy. I can't carry it to the brothers and the sisters. I can't carry it to the family. The only way I carry it to the pastor is I want counseling. I want to know more what God said, and I want prayer. The prayers of the righteous avail as much. Where two or three are gathered in the name is touching and agreeing, there he is in the midst. What happened a lot of times, pride. Because a lot of times we don't want people to know what's going on. Especially, and I'm the one that made all the mistakes in the marriage. I'm the one that did wrong in the marriage. So I don't want nobody talking to me about it. I'm not going to counseling. I'm not asking for prayer. If I do, I'm going to just say, can y'all pray for me? One thing I respect about Brother Jermaine, that brother there, when he saw that devil moving over there by his marriage, he wasn't in his marriage. Jermaine saw him over there by the marriage. He said, hold up a minute. Oh, no, devil. Ain't nobody finna get in this right here. I've been in this here working this thing out. I love this woman. I ain't no devil finna take away from me. Jermaine called for prayer and told, hey, Sister Barbara, I need you to pray for my marriage. And he told me what had happened. She had a dream. He had the dream, and she woke up saying, oh, no, it won't work over here. But we get prideful, and we don't want nobody to know. Some days I get angry with my oldest son about my grandchildren. Because had you not been so prideful and asked for prayer and told somebody what was going on, who saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost sealed, your marriage could have been saved. My grandchildren could have been spared from foolishness. Yeah. So in verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. There's no more two. Is one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I want to go back over that again. What God hath joined together, let no man take asunder. See, mine could be taken asunder because God didn't put it together. We put that together, me and Robert Mack. It wasn't God. So we both went through some things, and I can't put all the blame on him. It takes two to tango. I'm just guilty as he was. The husband won by the conversation of a sanctified wife. I was not nothing under God, so what could I tell Billy Mack? Nothing. There's nothing I could tell him. Yeah. So they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. They didn't believe in no divorcing and all of this. And if we go back up there, it talks about putting away for anything. Not just adultery. But can I put away if she's not cooking meals? Should I go home and beat her? Should I put her away because she looked at another man while we was riding down the street? That's all kind of foolishness. He said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses suffered you to put her away. But from the beginning, it was not so. That wasn't what God designed marriage for. He designed it to be forever. He put Adam and Eve together so that Adam would have a helpmeet. He said, it's not good, but that man should be alone. And I say unto you, now this is Jesus talking, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Now that's what he said. I didn't say it. You can't hold it against me. I wasn't there when he inspired this to be written, but I believe it. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doeth commit adultery. Now that's what he said. We're looking at Matthew's chapter 19, and take a look at this in verse 9. You can read that whole 19. It's going to help you out if you want to be helped. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. They can't receive this word, save they to whom it is given. Them that want it, they can handle it. Them that don't want it, they're going to do whatever they want to do. But there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there were eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. That's what he said. If you can't receive it, you don't have to. But if you can receive this word and obey God, you're in good standing. When we look over there at Apostle Paul in that first chapter of Corinthians, seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, he's going to talk about this. Have your own husband, your own wife. But you know what he said? He wished that you wouldn't marry. He wished that you could be like him and not be bothered with marriage. Why is that, Barbara? Because you give that time to God. You got that freedom to minister. You got that freedom to go into the hedges and highways and preach and teach the gospel. In some cases, compare a man to come in. But if I'm married, I got to take care of my husband. I don't care what nobody say. I can do certain things in ministry. I can help the church out. I can do all. I can go see about the sick and the elderly and help children and whoever else. I can cook and give meals. I can do all of this. But you know what? That first priority is to my husband. He left his mom and daddy to cleave to me, and we became one. I learned what he liked. Get home, he like a hot meal. He don't want nothing cooked this morning, and I got to heat it up. He wanted bubbling out on the stove when he get home. When he come home, he smell it when he hit the door. I'm in the den or in my bedroom on my knees praying. He'll come in and wash his hands and come and kneel down with me in the work clothes or whatever he got on and kneel down and pray. When the prayer is over, he's looking for the table to be set and the feast to go on. Yeah, that's what he's looking for. He likes his clothes a certain kind of way. Yeah, when he get home, he like me to be a certain kind of way. Because he done left the world and all that the world done offered out there to come home to me, to his king, to his kingship, to his castle, where he ruled, and he want things done a certain way. Well, I married him. I said, I do, didn't I? I said, I love you. I married you because I love you. You willing, you trust him, and you willing to be your last name. I'm going to honor your last name. By the things I do, I'm going to make you look good. I'm going to make you look better than you really are because you belong to me. And God got a mighty sweet way. But the husband is won by the conversation of the sanctified wife. Not no hell-raising woman. Not no woman trying to lead him and all. No, no, no. You can help him because there may be things that he don't even know about the internet. He don't know about a Microsoft Word. He don't know about you can YouTube. You can help him with certain things. But today, 2021, the sanctified women, if that's who they are, they done got besides themselves. Yeah. And we have a takeover spirit. But he said we become one. We walk together. I heard R.C. Blake say he asked his wife, hey, honey. Can you lead in this today? Because I got so much over here. Go ahead and lead in that for me. But she waited until he asked her. She didn't just take over it. And he says no such thing as your wife really behind you and you just telling her everything to do like she don't have no mind. Y'all work together. Marriage is ministry, I promise. What God put together is ministry. Your prayer life is a ministry. When you study that word, that's a ministry. It's the work of God. It's the things of God. It's spiritual. Hallelujah. But y'all read that 19, Matthew 19, chapter 9, and you're going to be all right. It's already all right. Before you read it, it's already all right. and pray and ask God to give you a heart of flesh, that when you hear his word, you won't harden your heart. Pray before you get in there now. Again, asking God to give you a heart of flesh, that when you hear his word, you will not harden your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is faithful. But thank you, Brother Louis, for posting script. God bless you over there. God bless you. And we thank God this morning. I got one more request to go to this morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with R.C. Blake, Pastor R.C. Blake. I love this man right here. I see why his wife loves him. Yeah, I can see why she is into her husband, because he got the right attitude about wives. He got the right attitude about women. Because, see, sometimes this is why we learn about the childhood of the man or the woman. Because many times what they've gone through, and you marry them thinking you're going to change them. No, if you know about the childhood and they've gone through much, they've been hurt, they've been abused, and then you in their adult life, they've encountered some things. If you're going to marry this man or woman because you love them, then you will have to pay for the patience, asking God to help you to work with them. Lord, give me the words that will soothe my husband, that will soothe my wife. Lord, show me what to do that they'll feel comfortable trusting me. Help me that I'm the vessel you can use to heal my husband. Not I changing, but that you would heal him in the name of Jesus. Because many of us need healing. Still. Some of us came out that kind of environment years ago, 2, 3, 4 years ago. But we still got issues. It's like a thorn in our flesh. So until God can heal us, he may give us a partner that go to him on the other partner's behalf so that God can heal him. You're not going to come out your mouth any kind of way to your husband. And your husband definitely not going to come out of his mouth any kind of way to you, because he sees. She's trying to help me. She's not trying to take over. She's not trying to leave. And some things he'll be talking about, and you see him get a little angry, you might grab his hand and say, honey, let's pray. We need prayer for this. And there's a way to say it. And he'll kneel down in prayer. Or y'all will sit together holding hands and pray. You got to keep that prayer in a marriage, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't, the devil gonna take over. That devil gonna show him sister fineness out there, and she ain't fine at all. She just full of mess. That devil gonna show him Jezebel over here, and he gonna listen to what Jezebel say, and Jezebel gonna mess him up. You married to him, and now you done found out he cheating on you. And you can't stand it. You wanna kill him, and you wanna kill her. But you married him. What does that say about you? Y'all became one. I don't care if he's in the world or you in the world. Now that you're learning better, do better. Carry that thing in God in prayer. Lord, help me to forgive them from my heart. Because if I don't forgive, you will not forgive me. And move on past it. Teeth and tongue fall out. When your teeth bite your tongue, do you pull all your teeth out? You done bit my tongue. I'm going to pull all of y'all. No, you don't. You keep them same teeth. Your tongue heal up. The pain stop. And you keep chewing on your chicken wings. Huh? Louis, chicken wings. You keep eating that peach cobbler. You keep eating that strawberry shortcake. Address bitter, peach cobbler. You keep right on going. Same thing with your marriage. This is you. He's you and you are him. He's going to do some crazy stuff. You're going to do some crazy stuff. Some days he'll look at you and say, now look at that right there. This woman is crazy. And he don't say a thing. He go right on. Some days you look at him and say, look at this. He done lost his mind. But you keep right on. And if you come into God, or if you already been saved, then what you do is you pray. You can't fix nothing. running your mouth, make it work. All right, Brother Byron. Yeah, I did. Yes, I did say peach cobbler. Yeah. You got to pray to stay. I know you think you bad and he married you and gave you his last name and you get up every day and you're all dressed up and you're doing this and that. I cook for him and I do his clothes. And honey, you got to pray for him. And mister, you got to pray for your wife. I'm not talking to the world today. I'm talking to them that have been saved. I'm talking to them that say they believe. They don't receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They ask him to come into their heart and live forever. Even them that say, I went on the altar and I tarried until he come. I'm talking to them today. I've had people to tell me, Barbara, if I knew about your ministry years ago, I wouldn't be divorced. Barbara, if I knew about your ministry years ago, I wouldn't be in prison because I wouldn't have killed him. Barbara, if I knew about your ministry years ago, I wouldn't have took everything he had in court, Barbara. Matter of fact, we never would have got to court. I took it all from him. And I was just as bad as he was. I was just doing bad in a different way. He was bad in one way, and I was bad in another. Do you know, because see, people, they categorize things. Well, she stole a 25-cent bubble gum, so she's not as guilty as him. Because, see, he stole a SUV. Are you kidding me? You're playing with my emotions or what? There's no big sin and there's no little sin. Sin is sin. Wrong is wrong. I've heard people say, well, I had to tell a little white lie. Where the white lie at? There's no color lie. White, black, blue, green, gold, purple. No color lie. A lie is a lie. Well, I did it to protect their feelings. It's a lie. I don't care why you did it. He said a liar won't tarry in his sight. Now, that's what he said. That's what God said. That's not what Barbara said. You can't hold that against me. It's not my word. It's his. And I truly believe it. But we weigh things because we want to be the accuser and the finger pointer. And I don't want to feel bad. And one thing about it, I ain't do what he did, but you did something in the marriage. I don't care if you flirted with a man while you're married. And he committed adultery. I don't care if you flirted while you was married and she was the one committed adultery. You're both wrong. And wrong is wrong. But Bobby, you don't understand. He went out with her. Look here. Didn't you flirt with Junebug over there at the car wash? Matter of fact, he came over there and scrubbed your tires and had this with his hands on your car. You married. If you act right, your husband will wash that car. He'll gas it up. He'll take it for the oil change and all of that. But see, a lot of times women, we can't shut up. Oh, boy, we'll ride it till the wheels fall off. He'll go in another room. We follow him over there with the foolishness. I'm telling you this because I've been there and done that. That Billy Mack, I would be giving Billy Mack the business. And he'll go in another room. I'll go in that room. He'll say, excuse me. And he's going to walk by me, and I'm going to follow him in the kitchen. He got the refrigerator open. He don't want nothing out of there, but he's trying to get something because he's trying to get away from his nagging wife. I think he just done had enough. And some days he would say, look here, I done had a belly full now. Lay off me with the bull. When he would say that, I said, boy, you know I was just joking with you. He knew I wasn't joking. But when he said that, I knew now, okay, now, I'm not one to put hands on women, but I will put my hands on you in here today because I done asked you to go head on with the nonsense. I explained to you everything, and you're going to keep gouging me with the knife. No, you're not going to keep sticking me. Go ahead and sit down somewhere and think about what I said now and cut that foolishness out because today I might lay hands on you. And I would go in the bedroom sometime or the living room and act like I'm still mad. And I would be laughing. I'm telling you the truth. I would be laughing. Because I know him, you see. And that was his payment right there. To keep nagging him for a few minutes, that was the payment. I felt like I had paid him back, now I feel better. And ain't nothing he could ask me for at that point that I wouldn't do. Yeah. but I used to get him. Oh, yeah, I used to nag him like that. And when he said, hey, I done had a belly full of that now. Lay off me with the bull. I'm telling you today. Yeah, and I get somewhere and sit down. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. I wasn't afraid of him, but I knew I had pushed too many buttons. I was wrong. He had apologized sometimes, explained why he did what he did. That just wasn't good enough for me. Oh, I just had to torture him. And a lot of women like that. Some men like that. We just got to do it until we feel like we done paid you back, and now we satisfied. No, we shouldn't do that. Marriage is ministry. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to this next one, and after this one, we're coming with Pastor R.C. Blakes. And what he's sharing this morning is this: 3 keys to a woman discerning a man. 3 keys to a woman discerning a man. Hallelujah. And then we're going to move on afterward to something better. And so let's go to this one.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me, and I thought that it would. And I thought that it should. Cause I messed up so many times. I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go. Let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go. And you wouldn't let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. Listen, I need you to know that whatever you're going through, What was meant to kill me, it only made me better.
More than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, spreading the good news of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was Mr. Gilbert Todd Gilbert this morning. And what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. The name of it is My Good. Yeah. I thought I should be dead. You know, I thought he should have came in and took everything from me. Yeah, he should have killed me. Hey, but God worked it out for my good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, C.I. God bless you this morning. Everything is good. Everything is good. She's resting, and we're just waiting to hear from the Lord. That's all we can do. And, baby K made it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, because I'm telling you, some prayers had to go up. No. You got the wrong one right there. Woo! Thank the Lord for your grace and your mercy. Most of all, your love for us. Oh, we thank God this morning. So listen, we're going in with Pastor R.C. Blakes. Three keys to a woman discerning a man. And this should help us all, men and women today. Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello. R.C. Blakes here, R.C. Blakes. I am so excited to be able to share with you again. We have a powerful, powerful discussion today. I was just sitting down and pondering the thoughts that I'm going to share with you today. And this is in reference to a strategy or method that a wise woman should employ when discerning if a man is right for her or not. You know, so often women get caught up in situations and scenarios where emotionally you get kind of carried away. Nobody's really ever sat you down to teach you how to discern a man, a good man from a bad man. And you make a lot of mistakes, and you find yourself leaping into situations long before you look into the situation. You leap before you look. And it's because nobody's taught you. Relationships have to be approached, not emotionally, but cerebrally and spiritually. You have to approach relationships from your spirit, from your core, from your center, and from your mind. You have to really think your way into a relationship. Don't fall in love, but walk in love, walk into it. Discerning, as I teach in a lot of my different lessons and books and programs, asking the right questions and having certain expectations of yourself, holding yourself to a certain standard when embracing a relationship. So I call this, and this is something I promise, this is something the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me as I was really flying, I was traveling. And I thought to bring it and deliver it to you. I call it the LET method, the L-E-T, the LET method of discerning a man. The LET method. And that's an acronym. And LET stands for language, energy, and treatment. These three things must be scrutinized in any man that you would entertain as a potential relationship. This is why it is never wise to just jump off into something before you have done your due diligence in terms of discerning, in terms of scrutinizing. Scrutinizing, discerning his language, his energy, and analyzing his treatment of you. How many times have you known women that have landed square in the middle of somebody's bed, created a sexual soul tie, gotten impregnated, and didn't even know who this person was? Well, why do women behave like that? Now, you have certain that want to push back and tell me that, you know, it's women's liberation. That ain't no women's liberation. That's women. That's women's incarceration. I call it female slave conditioning. You're not liberated because you just lay your body down in the middle of somebody's bed you don't even know and have all of this sex and get all of these diseases and create all of these soul ties and have babies for somebody. And then after the fact, you come to the counselor, to the police talking about he's a sociopath. Why didn't you know that before you got in the middle of the bed? It's because nobody ever sat you down to teach you that you can't be led by your, you know, your sexuality. You can't be led by your broken self-esteem that's searching for affirmation and will do anything to just be affirmed, even if it means giving your body to somebody you don't know. Any wise woman is going to scrutinize and discern this man's language, is going to take the time to feel and to experience his energy, and is going to analyze his treatment of her. But how many women do you know that actually do that? How many women have ever even been told that this is necessary to do? So let's jump into number one. The language. The language of a man is more important than you realize. How does a man pimp a woman? How does a man take a woman and convince her to sell her body, risk her life, risk her health, and then bring the money back to him? How does he do that? Does he put a gun to her head and threaten her life to make her do that? I guess in some cases that may be it, but in most cases that's not it. Most men that pimp women with their words. Because words are not just words. Words are spiritual. And when a woman opens her heart and her ears to the words of a man, she doesn't realize it, but that language is seeping into the inner chambers of her being, and it's either building certain things up or that language is tearing certain things down. And there's something about when a woman is being broken by a man's language. And see, sometimes that language is in the name of constructive criticism. Sometimes that language is in the name of counsel or advice. And the reality is when you leave the experience of that conversation, that dialogue or that monologue, the language of that man has either built you up or the language of that man has torn you down. And when a man's language tears you down, and see, this happens gradually. when a man's language is designed to tear you down, it happens gradually, but it also happens intentionally. A man intentionally breaks a woman down with language. And when that language breaks you down, it's like your soul is fractured, and then you become addicted to the voice of that man. So even though every time you go back and listen to that man is consistently diminishing your self-perspective and emptying your self-esteem with his words, but somehow you're addicted to it now. And you keep going back for more and for more and for more. Never understanding, you know, you feel this, you feel something happening. You know that you're changing and not for the better, but you're not understanding that you're being impacted by the spiritual nature of those demonic words this man is speaking. And when you flip that coin, when you find a healthy man, a good man, a righteous man, his language builds you up. His language many times can begin to even fill certain areas of your self-esteem that may have been lacking. Because language, words are not just words. Words are spiritual. Even Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are life and they are spirit. See, as I'm speaking to you now, these words are spiritual and they're designed to do what? To awaken, to open your consciousness, to bring healing to broken areas. The same way I'm using my language as a man to bring healing to a generation of women and even men, there are the majority of men who are using their words to intentionally break you down, to tear all of your walls down, that they might plunder your value without price. This is how a GED woman or a PhD woman is manipulated by a GED man. The GED man studies the PhD woman, while the PhD woman studies all of the other disciplines that she studied to get her degrees and so forth and so on. She never thought to study the men that she would open her life to. And no one ever told her that it was important to study a man. All she knows is, I think he's cute, he has swag, and he's saying all the right stuff, so let's rock and roll. And then it's 15 soul ties later. But listen to what the Bible says relative to language in Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are never just words. Words are spiritual containers that carry either good or bad intentions from one person's heart into another. A woman, now you have to also understand this. Men and women are different. A man is easily manipulated by the visual. A woman is easily manipulated by those things that would touch the heart. So, you know, when a woman wants to manipulate a man, she takes off her clothes and she does certain movements and she puts on certain music and she gets the pole and she comes down the pole like a snake, and the man is sitting there like, he may have just left church, got his Bible in one hand, and he's sitting there like that. He's mesmerized because the way a woman breaks down the defenses of a man is through the visual. A husband and wife can have a massive argument, and I mean, they can be not speaking, but she can go into the shower and come out with the right something on or not something on, and all of a sudden he's sitting there, I'm sorry, because we are what? Our defenses are broken down with the visual, but when a man wants to break down the defenses of a woman, he uses those things that would touch the heart, which are what? Words. I can't take my finger and manage a woman's heart. I can't grab a woman. No, I can't grab her heart. If I want to impact a woman's heart, if I want to get into her soul, I use words. So language is the woman's kryptonite. You know, Superman, as strong as he was, kryptonite is the thing that weakened him. Well, the language of a man is the kryptonite of a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because a woman is created to be more spiritual and even more emotional. I believe that. Now, there's no particular Bible verse that says that, but when you look at the creation of Adam and Eve, Adam created from the dust of the ground, God created him, and then breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, mind, will, thought. When God got ready for the woman, he put Adam to sleep, and he reached inside of Adam and pulled woman from the inner parts of Adam. So a woman is more internal. She was created from things internal, while a man is more external, visual, want to touch something, because he was created from things external. So when a man wants to touch the inner parts of a woman, he uses words, because a woman is highly sensitized to things that impact her emotionally. That's how you have very beautiful women sometimes with not, you know, necessarily such attractive men.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's about the bank account, just to keep it real. But I mean, if all things are equal and things are honest and sincere, you'll find a woman that, you know, looks like she might be with a certain type of man, and she's not. She's with a man that you at least expect. It's, if she's sincerely with him, it's because he has touched her heart in a way that has what? Moved her. So the only way, going back to what I said, the only way to impact a person internally is through language. And so when a woman is hearing a man talk, you have to understand that there's more going on than just somebody bumping their gums. That this could very well and probably more than likely is an intentional effort to penetrate your defenses emotionally so as to gain entrance to your heart and to manage and manipulate your life and to put you in a prison that may be most difficult to break out of. You can no longer just sit and allow a man to just speak all of this stuff into your spirit and you just wink at it like, you know, it's nothing, like it's a cartoon on the TV or something. No. This may very well be a smiling predator using a weapon of choice designed to penetrate your intellectual and your emotional defenses. And before you know it, you're caught up in a trap, you're caught up in a tie, and you don't know how to get out of it. So a woman must scrutinize the language a man uses with her. You know, when a man starts using certain language, a woman should, that should be a red flag. You just meeting a man and he's, you know, I always say to women that will hear me, when a man knows exactly what to say and a man is saying all of the right stuff, slow down, don't speed up. Some women say, we said all the right stuff. He said all of the right things. He's saying all of the right stuff. And she speeds up because she thinks that's a sign that he's sent from God. No, I mean, he's sent straight from the devil. He just knows exactly, he knows what kind of bait to use for you. So language, watch this. A woman must scrutinize that language that a man uses with her. And you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. Does his language build confidence in me? When a man speaks to you, does his language build confidence? You see, you'll notice something very consistent about most of your exes in a lot of cases. They never really spoke to your confidence. They always spoke to your ego.
Mm-hmm.
They never really spoke to your confidence. They always spoke to your broken consciousness, your empty self-esteem. So they would always talk about how fine you were, how beautiful you were. They always spoke to that. They never really, there was nothing they said or did that built your confidence. Then you had these other guys that you kind of wrote off. All they did was speak to your confidence. They affirmed you. They esteemed you. They spoke to your vision. They spoke to your accomplishments. But that didn't move you, because broken consciousness needs what? The ego stroke. Broken consciousness needs to be affirmed in a sensual type way when it comes down to a woman. So does his language build confidence, or does this man's language create doubts? Does this man's language, when you talk to this man, does this man's language eradicate self-control to the point, you know, you're ready to take your clothes off and do whatever? You've just lost complete control. You've been separated from your values, from your morals. You've been separated from all of that just through a conversation. Language is important. Words are not just words. Words are spiritual. Language, the language of a man can break the soul. You can be the most disciplined woman. You can have your life on track. You can be spiritually on point. You can have your future in view and sit down and allow yourself to partake in a conversation with a man that is skilled at penetrating the defenses of a woman through words. And when you come out of that situation, you won't know your head from your tail, up from down. You will have been divorced from everything that makes you who you really are. And this man will have firm grip on your soul.
Teach it.
So a wise woman, in discerning a man, pays very close attention to the language of that man. Any man that takes the occasion to speak down to you, to disrespect you, something's going on there.
Yes, sir.
If you look in Proverbs 26, verses 23 through 26 in the Amplified, it says, like a common clay vessel covered with the silver dross, making it appear silver when it has no real value, are burning lips, murmuring manipulative words, and a wicked heart. He who hates, listen to this carefully, disguises it with his lips. But he stores up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously and kindly to conceal his malice, do not trust him. Amen. For seven abominations are in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile and deceit, his malevolence will be revealed openly before the assembly. What is that text telling you? That text is telling you that you have to be smarter than just taking a person at, you know, for what they say.
Come on.
Oh, but he told me he loves me. He told you and 200 other women like you that he loves them. When you're done with him, you're going to find out he told the girl that you work with, he loves her too.
All right.
Because a malicious heart hides behind loving lips.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll say enough, just enough, you know, with a smile. And the reality is, if you did a deep dive into the conversation, you will be able to determine that on more than one occasion in every conversation, there was something in there that was challenging your values. There was something in there, in that conversation, that was eroding your confidence. All in the power of what? Language.
Yes.
So now number two, the let method. Take your time to discern, analyze the language of a man. And then secondly, experience his energy. Don't ignore the energy of a man. Don't ignore the energy of a man. See, there's an energy that you can feel right now. You know, there's an energy that you can feel. And every person has an energy that they cannot, they really can't even disguise it if the other person is, you know, intuitive. And everybody has the capacity to be intuitive or spiritual and discerning. It's just a matter of choosing to get out of your head and get out of your carnality and to kind of drop down into the spiritual capacity and to even pray before an encounter. God, let me feel the true energy of this person beyond their presentation, beyond their words, beyond what they look like on paper. Let me feel and let me experience this energy, and don't let me lie to myself about what I'm feeling. Because sometimes people look so good on paper, and sometimes people look so good to the eye, you lie to yourself about what you actually feel and discern about this person in terms of their energy. You don't have to be able to put your finger on it. You are not Sherlock Holmes. You don't need to solve the crime. You don't need to solve the riddle. All you need to know is that something, your spirit man is really that something on the inside of you is not in agreement with this individual. You don't need to know why. You don't need to go and tell anybody that something about this person. That's not your business. That's not the way you roll. You just need to know that there's something about this person's energy that is not gelling with you. And you need to move on. I don't care how fine they are. I don't care how beautiful their car is. I don't care how much money they make or claim to make. I don't care how well dressed they are. If the energy is not right, never ignore the energy. People ignoring the energy have gotten themselves into life threatening and even life destroying situations. You see, because the energy of a person is the essence of that person. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you saw a beautiful, beautiful package, you know, say wrapped in birthday paper or Christmas paper, and it's got a beautiful bow on it, like it has expensive paper, but you can smell that something ain't right inside of this box, don't open it up. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care that it got your name on. If you, and then something about it just filled the room up. What you don't like about it? Look how pretty it is. Look how pretty it is. Mm-hmm. No. But the essence of it is not right. It's not agreeing with me. And you ignore your immaterial senses of smell. And open that thing anyway and open up to something that may traumatize you for the rest of your life.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what I mean when I say you cannot ignore a person's energy. You see, because energy is the atmosphere a man creates, watch this, not only around you, but it's an atmosphere a man creates within you. And so it is with a man and a woman. A woman carries energy. And she creates an atmosphere around the man, and she also creates an atmosphere within the man. When the atmosphere within you and around you is disagreeable, challenging, The part of you that is sensitive to energy is your spirit. It's the part of you that is most connected to God. This is why I say never ignore the energy. Because when a person's energy does not agree with you, it's like the highest order of a red flag, because that's like God saying, time out, time out. Mm-mm. Don't go down this path. Don't do it. Your spirit is the part of you that is most connected to God. We're body, soul, and spirit. With the body, we are self-conscious, world-conscious. With the mind, or rather with the body, we're world-conscious. With the mind, we're self-conscious. But with the spirit, we are God-conscious. And all of you have that spirit within you that God is leading. But most of you don't, you know, you don't engage your spirit. You don't listen to your spirit. And that is the avenue whereby God is speaking to you, saying yes or no, go or stop. And when you run up on a person and you feel that energy is not right, that's God trying to talk to you. Listen to what Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So I don't need to be able to connect. I don't need to be able to connect the dots, because there's a spirit within me. And when I walk into a place and I meet people, my spirit says, my spirit says, and I move on based on the energy. There's no connection with the energy. How many of you have tried to make whole relationships and even marriages and even tried to produce families with people whose energy was never on your frequency? You thought as a woman you could change that. Wrong energy disturbs your spirit. Have you ever been with somebody, and I, as a man, when, of course, when I was much younger, when I was dating, which is a long time ago, there were occasions, man, that I would date some beautiful women. I mean, just gorgeous women. And they were, you know, a lot of times they were interested. For whatever reason, they were interested. But the energy wasn't right. The energy just wasn't right. And I'm like, you know, and just move on. And of course, you know, they're trying to figure out what's the problem. You know, every man I meet want to get with me. But once I started maturing a little bit, I realized that energy was important. And if a person's energy didn't agree with me, I wasn't that interested in sex that I was going to break the energy rule. Because when you start dealing with people whose energy is bad, man, you don't know what you're going to come out of a situation like that with. And so as a woman especially, you have to listen to that language. You have to feel that energy. When your spirit is agitated, God is sending you a sign. Again, it's the most important red flag there is. It's not, the most important red flag is not what you see of a person. It's not what you hear. It's what you feel. If you don't feel right with a person, don't ignore that. And don't go too far with it. And be honest enough to say to the person, you know, let's just be friends. You know, because you're gonna know this after the first date. You know, now they may put on a good thing and show you a lot of stuff and bring you to fancy restaurants and spend a lot of money on you and all of that. But if you know that energy is not right, you cannot ignore that energy. You cannot ignore that energy. That's how, I won't say it. Because a safe man, the energy of a safe man is like this. A safe man will always make you feel safe. A safe man will always make you feel safe. A safe man with the right energy that's not looking to diminish you and manipulate you and control you will always make you feel seen. It's not like you just there and you looking all around you. No, no, he's going to make you feel safe. He's going to make you feel seen. His energy is going to make you know that you are heard. See, a safe man with good energy, he'll turn the TV down to hear what you have to say. And that's intentional. When my wife has something she wants to say to me, now I'm able to just pause the show and return to it, resume whenever we're done, because I want my energy to always see my energy and my wife's energy. We have to do a dance, you know. We gotta be in sync. And so since I'm the man, I gotta lead, and I gotta lead with energy that says to my wife, be yourself, do your thing. I got you. You know what I'm saying? Take a dip right here. I'm gonna hold you. I ain't gonna let you fall. Because a safe man with good energies make you feel safe, make you feel seen, make you feel heard. You are going to feel respected, not lusted over. See, that broken consciousness in you is longing for a man to lust over you. When you get healthy, it's why you don't need a relationship now. When you get healthy, you're going to search for a man who brings an energy to you that makes you know you are respected.
Yes.
You are equivalent. He's not going to talk down to you like, you know, he's the prize and you just a slave or a servant. No, no, we are partners in dominion together. But that's the kind of energy he has to bring. And he's going to bring an energy that makes you feel important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know, he's going to make you know that you are his priority. So his language, his energy, and then thirdly, his treatment of you. The way a man treats you. A man's treatment is very important. Because what will happen is, a man will say all of the right stuff, and because you're ignoring his energy, he will tell you all of the right lies, and he will suck you in with lies, and he'll even, with his language, he'll even open you up sexually and turn you on sexually, and then he will begin to exploit you sexually, and then once he's plundered your value without price, he's taken your most precious gift without even a commitment or a covenant, then his treatment of you will begin to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why you need to take your time when vetting a man. You don't want to rush. Don't let nobody put you on no clock. Well, you know, it's been 4 weeks. It's been 2 months. It's been 5 months. No. People can act for as long as that. You want to observe a man's treatment of you. Why? Because a man's treatment resets the expectations unconsciously. So if a man treats you well, and you had never had that, his honorable treatment of you resets your expectations unconsciously. Now watch this. If you let a man into your life and you allow him to get into your soul with words and sex, he then understands that he can begin to gradually treat you with less and less and less honor, and he will gradually, unconsciously reset your expectations. A man can so reset your expectations that you'll be diminished to a place where you'll start agreeing that it's cool for a man to have a side chick. watching women do it all day long. Let a man sit there and talk all that stuff to you and tell you about, you know, how much money he make and all this kind of thing, and it's going to be hard if you get another man like me. And so, you know, I need me outside woman, and that man diminishes you to a point where you go to agreeing with that. You go to shaking your, yeah. You hypnotized. Because a man gradually reconditions a woman's tolerance one act at a time. Disrespect never gets better. It's designed to go further and further and further. And see, what happens is he'll get to the point where he ain't getting busted. He's doing it on purpose. He's letting you catch him on purpose because all of that, the shock value of you finding stuff out. See, what that does is that's not the gradual drop. That's just a massive drop. See, once he gets you to the point where you catch him doing stuff and he doing stuff intentionally, and then he act like he pulling away from you, and then there you call into my, you know, let's talk. You promise you're not gonna do it again? Once he hears that, he knows your soul is tied. He knows your soul is tied, and so every weekend he gonna set up a situation where you gonna catch something else, and now you're what? You're managed. You're manipulated. You're the puppet on the string, and he's the puppet master. He does whatever he wants. He goes and comes like he wants. Before long, he'll move another woman in the house with you. Because if you don't pay attention to the way a man treats you, and if you don't have more self-love than you have so-called love for this man, which is really not love, you will always be abused. There comes a point that if you don't treat me right, I got to love me enough to let you go even if it hurts me, because I'm not going to stand by and let you disrespect me. Because I love me too much. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find it. Oh, everybody, a lot of men can talk good, but who going to actually do it? Then he goes on to say, the just man walketh in his integrity.
Mm-hmm.
A good man is not just talking it, but he's walking it in his integrity. You can watch how he treats you day in, day out, day in, day out, year in, year out, month in, month out. And there's a consistency. What is integrity? Integrity is the integration of a man's promises
mm-hmm.
with his actual consistent behavior. That's a man of integrity.
Yes,
a man
sir.
That integrates what he's promised you with what he does. The integration. He's a man of integrity. He's not promising and doing something different. No. He in fact about it, he walks it before he talks it.
Yes, sir.
He shows it to you.
Yes, sir.
He treats you in a way that baffles you because you've never been treated like that. In fact about it, sometimes your consciousness is so broken that it almost turns you off to be treated so well.
Okay, come on, tell it. Tell it.
A man that is treating you right does not have to apologize every week. I don't have to apologize to my wife. It's a rare occasion. Now, you know, I do at times have to apologize for things I didn't intend. Then when she tells me and she makes me know it, you know, that she didn't like this or that, I say, okay, I apologize. But I never have to come back and apologize for that again. Mm-hmm. And it's a rare occasion that I have to apologize, because a man that's treating you right is not having to apologize all the time. You got a man that's always apologizing. Those apologies are false. Those apologies are just keeping you on the hook until he reels you in to the boat of female slave conditioning completely. Because a man that treats you right does not have to apologize every week. The way a man treats you is reconditioning your standards.
Yes, sir.
See, like my wife, for instance, now, I was looking the other day. Well, it happens quite frequently, actually. She'll stand at the car door and she'll wait. Even if it looked like I forgot, went around to my side, she'll stand over there and she'll wait until I come and open the door. Well, who taught her that? It took me a long time to get her to that place where I reconditioned her to a place of thinking and having the expectations of a queen. Now I've created a monster. She don't wait. Likewise, if you allow a man to give you less than you deserve, you have to understand that you are, from this point, you are willingly participating in the degradation of your own standards. Mm-hmm. See, like, I can't say it enough. You know, a man goes out and he cheats on you. And I'm not talking about a man that makes a mistake, because dudes do make mistakes. You know, men have some ridiculous sex drives, and sometimes we just not mature and we have not grown up. And we may make a mistake, but you don't make a mistake 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 times. And every time you make this mistake, you coming back here and you apologizing and you falling on your knees talking about, I'm sorry. I ain't gonna never do it again. You've been saying this for the last 5 years, 10 years. You've been constantly doing the same thing. Well, every time you allow a man to just go out here and cheat on you, your standards are dropping and dropping and dropping. And while your standards are dropping, you have to also understand this. Your sense of worth is also dropping.
Yes, sir.
And your anticipation that you can do better than this is also dropping. Every time you allow a man to treat you in a way that is beneath you and to give you something you don't deserve, that man is reshaping your inner self-perspective.
Yes,
he's either bringing you down with his treatment or he's bringing you up with his treatment.
Yes, sir.
Kings always elevate the expectations of queens.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, sir.
Clowns will always pull you off of the throne and drag you down to the gutter.
Amen.
So you have to watch the language of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to the energy of a man and always analyze the treatment of a man. And when a man is not treating you right, you have to do like, you know, queens do. My wife does it to me. My wife will check me instantly.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Instantly. Sometimes we may be in a dinner situation and maybe I say something I ain't supposed to say. She have a look she give me.
Yes, sir.
That lets me know, I don't like what you just did. I don't like what you just said. Don't do that no more.
Okay. Straight up.
Queens always establish the boundaries. You're going too far. You're doing too much.
Yes, sir.
And when you are a healthy woman and a man is not treating you right, you got to tell that man. And if he don't like it, let that be the last time he sees you.
Amen.
If he can't accept you speaking up for yourself, and I'm not talking about going out with your hands on your hips and popping gum and all of that, just clowning. I'm talking about a man disrespects or does not handle you properly. You're supposed to be able to say, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't ever do that again.
Yes, thank
you. If he
you.
Can't accept that and apologize, he ain't enough man for you. So that's my little message for today. I hope you got something out of it. Don't forget to stop by my website. Check out all of my online programs that are still on sale. Don't leave just yet. I want to pray for you before I let you go. Also, be looking out for audiobooks for Queenology, for Kingology, and for Father-Daughter Talk. Also, very soon we're going to be releasing my latest book entitled Me, My Mind, A Christian Perspective on Narcissists. And very soon we'll be releasing that. Also this year, we're going to release the book, The Training for Reigning. That'll be the third book in the trilogy. Father-Daughter Talk was the first. Queenology was the second. And The Training for Reigning is going to be the third book in the trilogy of books. Those three books really flow and go together. Sign up for my mailing list. You know all of that. Those of you that need counseling of any kind, there's a link in the description for BetterHelp counseling. You can go there and use that link, and it'll afford you 10% off of the cost of the counseling, and they in turn will drop a referral fee into the ministry. Now, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. And my prayer for you today is for wisdom.
Yes.
My prayer for you today is for wisdom. Father, I thank you now that you will give your daughters and your sons even that are watching this the wisdom to be able to navigate a demonic and an evil world. God, I thank you for each of them now, and I thank you for connecting them and tying them to me and Lisa's lives. And God, now my prayer is that the words that come out of my mouth will minister healing to their hearts and elevate them, dear God. And I thank you now, Father, for giving clarity. I thank you for giving peace. And I thank you, God, for empowering them to forgive themselves where they may have missed it. And God, I ask these blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
Well, I love you guys. I really, really do. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for sowing into my life. Thank you for supporting everything I do. I'm just so grateful for you. I can't tell you how grateful I really am. Words are not adequate. I'm so grateful for you. But until next time, I'm R.C. Blake saying to you once more and again, you're on top and you're going higher, and God has more in store for you. So until then, have a great one.
Amen. 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 And amen again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Pastor R.C. Blake this morning. That's my boy. That's my boy. I love him, I love him, I love him. I'm going to be reaching out to him real soon. And if he can, maybe one morning he'll come live for us. I know why his wife loves him so much. I know why she loves him to the core, because of this man's love for women. And he always trying to help women, and he try and help men too from a biblical standpoint, from the Bible. And he tells the truth, because see, many of us, we didn't know, we wasn't taught. Some of our parents, they didn't know. Some of the church folks, the pastor of the church, he didn't know. So we got caught up into some things. Good morning, Apostle, God bless you. So we got caught up into different things. Some of us allowed men to bring us down instead of building us up. You know, we allowed this stuff to go on, because I'm going to hurt if he leave me. I'm going to hurt if I leave him, honey. I got to hurt. I've been hurting a long time over foolishness, so this is going to be no different. This too shall pass. Time really does heal a lot of different kind of wounds. And these kind, relationship wounds, time will heal it if we allow it. I had a man. I had never had a man like this before. Lived with that man for 11 months. When I tell y'all, I had never experienced a man in my life like this. I see my dad and my brothers. I saw them do it for their women, for their wives. But I had never had it, you see. I had foolishness. I had nonsense. Yeah, I had a man who was abused as a child. He didn't even understand himself, because as good as he looked, he could have just took his looks alone and how fine he was and used that to better himself. He didn't know. As good as I looked, oh yes, sir, and as fine as I was, when you get through, I could have bettered myself, but we didn't know. We looking on the outward appearance. He looking at some other things about me. I could have children. He wanted children. He had been with a woman who couldn't have children. So the next woman was going to be able to give him some babies. So it was a lot of foolishness in there. We didn't know. Plus, we was not walking in God. We was walking in our flesh. And men have told me, well, hey, sister, I got to be attracted to her. Well, you go ahead on with your attraction and see what you end up getting. The woman come in and took all he had. He had built that stuff for years. His parents had left stuff to him. She took all of that too. Go ahead with the looks. Go ahead with the outer appearance. Go ahead with the fineness and the good looking and the this and the that and the eyes and all this stuff and see what you get. I think he was already an alcoholic. He was just disguising some things until I was in there like swimwear. Once he knew I loved him, then he could let his hair hang down. Yeah, that curly-headed, green-eyed monster was something serious. Never put his hands on me, nothing like that. But he did cheat. All kind of mess. But let me tell you about Barbara. Even when Barbara was in the world, cheat on me. You go ahead and cheat on me. And the day you cheat on me, see, don't I get rid of you that same day. I may love you and I may hurt, but I'm going to be a hurting sister because you're not going to continue to hurt me. Barbara always thought she was better than you treated me. Oh, no, I can't take it. I found out that all the other stuff he did, I accepted him. Getting drunk sometimes, talking too much when he drunk. Oh, I was sick of all of that. But I hanged on in there. But the day I found out he cheated up, no, I take that back. One time he went to cheat on me and the girl wasn't having it. I knew her ever since she was a little girl. I was much older than her. She used to babysit my kids. She had became grown now, had her own house and everything. He went down there before day in the morning around 3 o'clock, I think she said, and asked her to lay with him for $300. And the proof was in the pudding. I had told him she asked me to borrow $300. We had gone out on a staycation, but we went to a hotel to do it. So I'm asleep. He done got up and eased out and went over to her place, and we lived away from them, but he drove over there and confronted her that time of morning. She threw him out of her house. And when I came home off the staycation, she told me what had happened. He went down there and clowned and everything. They wrote him a big ticket to come to court for that foolishness. That was the first time. I said, okay, now, listen. I want you to hear me well. You never know me to be a lying woman. It can't happen again. I said, because if it happened again, I know you don't love me and you don't want me. Now, you wanted something else. I guess your days, you done got what you wanted out of me and your days with me are over. But if it happened again, brother, it's over. He thought I was playing. One more time, the lady lived behind me. And they had a baby together. What did Barbara do? Come on, talk to me, somebody. He had to go. I had already separated from him. And then I found that out. And when I found that out, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I ain't going to lie this morning. I went to dancing in my living room. Baby, I turned the stereo up and just clowned my son, my youngest son, Chavez. He came and was dancing with me. He know what I was dancing for. Oh, go ahead, mama. Yeah, look here. It was over with. Already wanted to get rid of you. I just didn't know how. I separated from you. Had I known you was cheating, I'd have gave you $100 and her $100 to put two eggs in both of your shoes and beat it on the way from me. I'm worth more than that, and I knew it. I married a prince daughter. They instill values in me. Yeah, I'm out here doing what I want to do. I'm outside the church, but I yet have values, and you're not coming to tear me down. Oh, you got to go. I have found myself with depression, spirits of depression on me from time to time, and I'm like, what is this? I don't do this. I was taught when you leave home, you dress nice. You represent yourself properly. Yeah. I was raggedy with a scarf on my head. Yeah, just letting that devil drag me down, because that's who was using him, the devil, to drag me down. And I refused to, honey, I got on away from there. Then he lied and said he divorced me when he didn't. He said I was somewhere. He didn't know where I was. I must have been in Alaska. He put a 20-day thing in the paper, and if I didn't ask in 20 days, the magistrate would grant him the divorce. So I'm right here talking to men flirting with me, and not that I was going to be bothered or interested, you know, it's what men do. Hey, girl, let me get your phone number. It's what men, now you run over there and give it to them if you want to. They're never calling you. They with their buddies, and it's what they do. So when I found all of this out, how I found out I wasn't divorced yet, I had Jesus in the Morning confectionery and cafe. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know what? I need to make a will and put Shantae over everything and this, that, and the other. Well, I call these people. Y'all know these people. They advertise all the time about lawyers and all of this. And the man said, well, okay, Miss Mac, I was Mac at the time because I was still married to him. They ran a check. They did what they had to do. The attorney come back. He said, Miss Mac, he said, are you sure you're divorced? I said, yeah. My ex-husband told me he divorced me a couple of years ago. He said, well, we can't find a resolution of marriage. We can't find a divorce. He said, well, I'll tell you what you need to do, Miss Mac. Where did y'all marry? I said, folks in Georgia. He said, well, I need you to go to Folkestone and see what they got and bring me a copy of it back. I said, okay. Well, when I went to Folkestone, all they had was a marriage license. So they gave me a copy of the marriage license. I sent it to the attorney. He said, Miss Mack, you're not divorced. You still married. Shoot. I said, okay. I say, he said, well, I can make up a will now, but you really need to get divorced if you really want to be divorced. And you said it's been over 30 years. I said, yeah. He said, well, okay, go get your divorce and I'll be working on this. I went down to the courthouse and I took some papers. I had to go back and take some more. And they told me it was going to be $400 and something. Well, I lived in the project and I used that. And they said, oh, you low income. Yes, very low. And so she gave me a paper, told me to go around the corner and talk to these people. I went around there and talked to a man, and he gave me another paper to carry back to the window. I carried that paper back to the window. They charged me $12 and told me they would send the sheriff out to serve the papers to him. Well, the man who was going to serve the papers, the court server, whatever you call him, sheriff server, he called me. He said, Miss Mack, he said, I went to serve your papers and somebody's there, but nobody will come to the door. He said, but don't worry about it, Miss Mack, because I will. I'm the one. He said, I will serve these papers. So in about a week or so, he called me back and said, Miss Mack, I served the papers. All you're waiting on now is for them to call you to court. I said, thank you. Well, they called me to court. This was in 2016. Now, I married him in 1977. Yeah, 1977. And this was in 2016. I went before the magistrate. She said, what do you want? I said, all I want is my name back. That is all I need. We separated in 84, 85 is what I want to say. But it could have been 82, somewhere around, and I don't even remember. But anyway, she said, what is it you want? I said, all I want is for my maiden name. I want that Pittman back. That's all I want. And, you know, she shared with me, what about your children? They that's their name because that's their daddy. He's not mine. I don't want that name no more. So she said, you don't want no finances? No, ma'am. I don't want nothing he got. All I want is my maiden name back. And she saw I was serious. She said, well, all right, well, tell me what happened. I explained to her what happened. Told her about the cheating. I told her about the lying, about the divorce, and all of that. She said, okay, because he was going to come to court to detest it. Contest it. Yeah, contest it. Uh-uh. No, he realized what was jumping, and he decided not to. He had remarried and wasn't divorced from me. And the magistrate wanted to put him in jail, but I begged. I said, ma'am, please. I don't want him in jail. I just want my name back, and I just want a divorce. That's it. I don't want no problems. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to cause him no problems. I just want my maiden name, and I want to be divorced because our children were grown. She said, well, all right. Okay, Miss Pittman. She said, I'll do this for you. I said, thank you, ma'am. Gave me my maiden name back. She told me, she said, within 3 months, 3 or 4 months, you should have your paperwork, and it should say delusion of marriage. I said, okay. So I had moved here in this house, and I was going on about my business and everything. One day I checked the mail. That was the papers. I had to go and put some clothes in the cleaner. And these ladies was there, and we was talking. They was talking about their husbands. I said, well, I tell you the truth. I'm celebrating. They said, what are you celebrating? I said, being divorced. They said, what? I said, yeah. I've been waiting a long time for this. I didn't know it, but I've been. And so this one lady, she was like, yeah, I just don't have the strength to divorce my husband. I looked at her. I said, what? I said, he's not treating it right. She said, no, I'm just a slave and somebody he's used to being in the house with. And he go out without me and, you know, he got new friends. And I said, honey, I'll be out of there and I'd have new friends myself. Oh, no, I can't do it. And some women stay because they're afraid that their life going to be degraded. You know, what they used to, they won't have no more. But if you in Jesus and he in you, honey, you're going to have more. Do you hear what I say? Yeah, I got more, and God is able. Yeah. And then when I found Matthew 19 over there and 9, I said, oh, I'm good to go anyway. And how many times have you heard me say it? I can't be bothered with foolishness. I don't consider myself a weak woman. That's one thing. I'm not weak. I had 8 biological babies. I've been through the storm and lots of rain. I allowed God to build me. And I have to watch as well as pray. And I'm not letting no devil in hell come to tear me down. He can't. No, 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 no. That's calamity. And no calamity shall come down my dwelling. Do y'all hear what I'm telling you? I can't let the devil in. I heard Bishop Robertson said, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. Don't let him ride. Let me tell y'all, so if I could show y'all, y'all would lay on the floor. I've had all kind of proposals, and not just for marriage, but proposals, but we can work on this together and see if I do that for you, it's going to bring this. Now, if God don't do it, I don't want it. We're not married. You know, we're not even courting, as they call it. I can't let you give me gifts. I done had them to give me rings. Now, keep your gifts, because you won't get anything for your gifts. Uh-uh. Don't come with all of that. Oh, you so beautiful. Look here. I have straightened so many, like a hot comb straightened some nappy hair. What? You're not going to come and tell me how I look. I don't need you to tell me how I smell. I don't need none of that. How fine. Man, go somewhere and sit down. All this weight I done gained. I'm 64 years old. Your Mac and game is tore up. You don't even have a Mac and game. If you want a Mac and be a real Mac, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And you can get any woman you want. You got to know the word of God. Because the kind of woman you want her to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized. She could come out there with a rag on her head and some 2 big shoes, cloppity, 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 dressed down to the floor. Not an ounce of makeup. Ain't tweezed the eyebrows since she growed them. She don't have nobody lashes on, no horse lashes, the Asian people lashes. She got her own lashes. She don't have long nails. She got short nails because she do too much work at home, cooking and cleaning and things like this. And guess what? The true king will see a true queen in that woman and bring her to queenship. Oh boy, she on a pedestal now. And everybody else is bowing down to her. Why? She got the king. See, we settle for standard men. We settle for what he said the other day, pimps. Mike Hawk, simp. I had never heard of a simp before. We settle for pimps, simps, and scrubs. That's what we settle for. I'm going to work and you home playing video games. Nikki say they got a bird brain. I holler. I had never heard of that. Bird brain? Yeah, your bird brain. You don't even have a whole brain and you want to come to me? And you think you're coming pimping? I play with pimps. I'm the mother of pimps. I got spiritual sons that's been real pimps. You can't pimp me. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. God is the only one going to lead and guide a Barbara Pittman. Ain't no man finna lead and guide me with foolishness. Now, if he lead and guide me according to that word, I love him to the day I die. I'm acting a donkey. He put that word to me. I got to straighten up right then and fly right. But he come and talking about him and how he feel it. Boy, I'll run all over you like a tractor trailer. You better get somewhere and ask somebody. I'm not the one. I am saved. I am sanctified. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you think God going to let you come and tear this vessel down and so much work to be done? He don't have enough workers. And I want to be kept by him. You better get somewhere before you catch on fire standing right before me or them angels beat you like you stole something. God is real. We got to be real. But women, we got to stand up in Jesus. Stop being so weak and so vulnerable and so needy. As the world said, not so thirsty. Sleep by myself. I used to be there, been there, done that. Oh, I used to say, who does that? Who sleep by themselves? The Lord come and show me you do. And you will. Oh, I go to sleep. Oh, my goodness. And sleep so well. Alone. Don't want nobody sleeping with me. I'm honest. I'm not lonely. I'm not thirsty. I'm busy. I got Jesus. I got the Son of, oh, my goodness, of the true and living God that have all power. I can be in the kitchen. And some days just lean to the side, you know. Just lean over in the chair to the side and just begin to talk to him like he's right there in the chair next to me. Call me crazy if you want to. I am blessed. I don't look 95 because I'm not stressed out. I go to bed at night and get good rest. I don't stay up all night wondering and plundering over no man. I might stay up wondering and plundering over Jesus in the morning. And who really receiving God's word over here. And how their life going. Now, I might get up on there in the morning and wonder and plunder over that and pray about it. I might pray concerning Freedom Doors Ministry. Lord, I ain't been out there in them streets in a minute. What's going on? I know you got some place that's safe that you could send me to use me in your service to bless your people. But I'm not gonna stay woke, concerned over nothing, because I can't worry, it's a sin. I'm not gonna be bothered. And let me tell ladies this. Men are hunters. They like to chase. And once they get that they want, the hunting is done. They go on to the next thing. I don't care how married he is. And you hear R.C. Blake, he said, because dudes, he ought to know. He ought to know. That's all I'm going to say. He's a man. That's all I can tell you. And men do all of that. On the job, they chasing another woman. And as soon as they capture her, they don't lay with her. As soon as they capture her interest, he buy. He don't tell her buy. He doesn't show her buy. And she like, well, what happened? He used to always speak to me. He used to always want to eat with me or bring me coffee. He don't even look at me now because he done captured you. He's a hunter. Don't let him capture. When you lay with a man up front, you ain't got no commitment or nothing from him. He ain't got no respect. He gone. And guess what? He'll call you a whore. Y'all better hear me today. Okay, this CR. Okay, that. He get ghost. he gone. But if you don't give him what he want, he gonna chase. It drive him somewhere, ladies. It drive him to another dimension because he can't have what he want. But the minute you give in to him, he ain't got nothing for you. And all that laying up on first dates and all that he spending your money and all. Let me tell y'all something. I was in the world. I'm honest with mine. I was in the world when I at the Jazz Coda Club. I don't know if them boys was Chippendales or what they want, what they was. But they were supposed to be strippers. And they was back there taking their clothes off. I had never been to nothing like that. And me and the bartender, we were fooling around. Y'all heard me? He said, what you going back there for? I said, I just want to see. I ain't never seen it before. He rolled his eyes at me, and I walked on back there to see what they was doing. This one, women was just throwing money at him and putting money down in their underwear. And this one, my back was to the wall, and I had my foot on the wall. My right foot on the wall, and my back was to the wall, and I had my arms folded, and I'm just looking. And this one, he came over there to me ringing and slanging. And when I looked down, he had the money in his underwear, in the, you know, the last elastic of his underwear. I started pulling the money up out of him. He said, girl, stop that. Don't do that. Hey, well, you brought the money over here to me. Hey, it must be the money. You must be wanting me to get some of this because I know you could have been expecting my dollars. You're a man. I don't care what you do. I can't give you my money. I need some of yours. Because you're supposed to know how to save. You're a leader. You're supposed to know how to have something. And if I got to give you mine, you out of gas with me. Oh, you really out of gas with me. I ain't got time for the devil. And guess what? The friend in Washington State, I used to do a lot of things for him, pay for things for him and different things like that. Well, guess what he do? He don't look for a dime, not today. What? You have to train folks. You don't train them how they gonna know. And no matter who, how you look, how big you are, how old you are, how much hair you got and don't have, you're a woman. Yeah, talking to the ladies now. You're a woman. Haven't you seen people, well, in the South, let me tell you this. It's some big, big, big girls here. And them big, big, big girls got some fine men. And they will kill you about one of them big girls. And they treat that big girl like a queen, no joke. He likes to eat and she likes to eat. If they eat and her metabolism don't burn as fast as his, he knows she's going to gain weight. He ain't got no problem with that. He said, the more the merrier. He's not home playing video games and she on somebody's job. He want her home cooking, cleaning, and seeing about his young'uns. They ain't even married. So I know saved, sanctified, spirit-filled women supposed to know better. And we pray and ask God to build our self-esteem. We don't have to trick no man. I'm a woman. But I'm going to stand up for me. And I come subject to the man. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God made him the leader. But you can't come crooked, leader. You got to come as a king because the queen ain't having it. Oh, no, you're not. You can't talk to me any kind of way. You're about to bring the old man up in me. I can't let that old man come back up. That old man will carry me to hell. I can't let the old man. So talking to me any kind of way, I know the old man will come back up. And you done tricked me into marrying you, and now you done come out to be the devil's imp? No. I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to stay. I'm like Apostle Paul. I got to stay right here. And that's no excuse. If somebody told me, oh, you done replaced a man with food. I replaced no man with food. I was eating food when I was married. I had a man and I was still cooking and eating bacon. Are you kidding me? The devil said that, thought he was going to do something to me, thought he was going to hurt me with that. Boy, go ahead on. God is good. And God is faithful. He's on our side today in spite of us. Beyond fault and yet meet need. He loves us today, but we must learn to love ourselves. Because you heard what he said. Some women, they fine, but they with a man who don't look so good. But now he may be the one that's doing all she needs to have done. And then he going to say that sometime it may be about the money. But then sometimes some women appreciate a good man. He may look like a mud duck, but he make her feel royal. She can't ask for nothing that he don't provide. She married him. And when I tell you he know more than what to do in the bedroom, I wish another woman would look at him. She'll want to kill you and back away from him. This mine. So it ain't about looks and stuff. It's about what's in you. And I teach all young women, it's the Holy Ghost that keeps a man or a woman. If he don't have that, I don't care who raised him. I don't care what good background he come from. If he don't have the Holy Ghost, he can't be kept, because what's governing him? What's ruling him? We can't do it ourselves. God got to do it through us, and we must have his spirit living in us and come subject to the spirit of God. Yeah. I love people, and I'm honest with you. I love men. Yes, I do. Ooh, honey bunny. I've seen all kind of good-looking ones from every walk of life. Hey, but not for Barbara. Hallelujah. I got the Holy Ghost. Hey, I got the Son of the true and living God. No man could ever treat me like him. No man. I don't know a man alive who could do for me what he does. Pay every bill. Never throw it in my face. I paid you then. Oh, he never do that. I don't have to cook. I don't have to do nothing I don't want to do. And if I need to do it, he'll give me the strength to do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm telling you, ladies, go to him sincerely. He'll fix your problems. But if you keep letting your flesh hold on to stuff, he can't do it. Because you want the flesh. You don't want him. And sometimes the way he do things, it don't look like it's going to turn out right. But if you trust him, it's going to turn out better than all right. Or it's going to be a true blessing and miracle to you. Men, same thing for you. Go to God in prayer. Let God bless you with a true queen because you're a true king. Let God bless you. Turn them eyes off. We know you're physical. Stop looking at that outer appearance. how she shaped, how much rear end she got, how big her chest is. Because I've seen some real ugly women, but they real shapely. And he with her for the shape. Well, I can tell you some things. And the minute she lose that shape, he gone. What you say, Sion, he ghost. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth today. And if we accept the truth will set us free. Think more of yourself. You're worth something. Some of us, we somebody's mother. I've been to let myself be down. Are you kidding me? I'm Abdullah's mother. I'm Yusuf's mother. I'm Lonnie's mother. I'm Chavez's mother. I can't let my boys see me go through craziness. No. Because they won't have respect for me either. They'll start treating me a certain kind of way, and they'll start taking from me and stealing from me and using me. Because they see, she weak. She ain't going to stand up for nothing. Let me go over and get this money out of here. I need this money. All four of them boys know. Now, if I really need my mama, I can ask her. But if I don't really, really get the last resort, I don't want to ask her because she going to tell me about me being a man and how's a man coming to his mama when a man's supposed to give to his mama. I don't want to hear that speech. I go see my grandkids when I can, give to my grandkids when I can, bake them something when I can, but I'm not paying nobody child support. And I'm not loving nobody's kids past what I'm supposed to love you as a grandmother. I'm not supposed to take care of you. You got parents to do that. Oh, no, ma'am. I don't care what they say about me. Oh, you tough loving. Yes, I do. I just call it loving. Because if you love them, you're going to treat them right. Yeah. See, we sit up and think in our place, oh, they're going to hurt. The children ain't going to have. They going to go through. It'll make better children out of them. When they get something, they appreciate it. When somebody gives them something, they appreciate it. But you just giving them everything because you don't want them to feel no pain. They going to grow up and be rotten. Not good for no woman. Not good for no man. They can't even keep a job because they on the job acting like the supervisor going to treat them like their mama did. Are you kidding me? That's not how I go down. Mm-mm. That's not how I go. We got to stand up in God. We have a risen Savior. We have Almighty God who have all power. Oh, yeah. Willie Henley. I used to look at Willie some days. Yes, sir. He didn't play the radio. He let the kids get away with so much and then come in. Because now I done told you. And for me and my house, I'm going to train you up in the way you should go. Yeah. I can't say it was perfect. And then I saw other parents who used to be strong, they started drifting off. They started paying more attention to what the world say. We'll lock you up. We'll give you child abuse. Give me whatever you got to give me. But if they eat my grocery, sleeping in my bed. Did I say grocery? If they eat my grocery, sleeping in my bed, watching my TV, wearing my clothes to school, I had to do something to get that, which is called work. I'm going to need you to tighten up in here. I'm going to need you to have respect in here. I'm never holding you up in your wrongdoing now, so I need you to be aware of what you're doing, because when you're busted, I'm busting you. Yeah, and I'm embarrassing you, because I'm going to let the world know I don't stand for this. I don't uphold children in their wrongdoing, mine and nobody else's. Yeah, and that's the way we need to go back to being. But we done got weak people, following up what the TV say, following up what the world say. If we all stuck together, do you think they got enough jails to put everybody in? They ain't going to build enough. They're trying to build more houses and apartments to make more taxes and to make more money. They're not going to do nothing to you. Enough of y'all stand up and see what happens. But we let them bring anything into the school system, and we sit back. But that's the way the school doing it. I wish I had one of them in there. They probably would have got the police to escort me off of there and put me in jail because I'd have showed out over there. You're not going to teach mine anything. And if you can't hear what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying and you're talking about the lawmaking and all of that, let me just get mine up out of here. And if I have to work three jobs to pay for a tutor or to pay for a teacher, to homeschool them, that's what I'm going to have to do. Because I can't allow my children to come up in this nonsense. They're not going to know right from wrong. They're going to know, they won't know what's real and what's not real because they kind of wipe the things of God out of here. God left a purpose and a plan. They trying to remove all the plans and purposes of God. And husbands and wives, they're not banding together. They separating each other. The man over there trying to pimp the woman. He over there trying to be a simp. He over there trying to be a scrub. You ain't got, if you can pimp your wife, you'll pimp your daughter. If you can simp your wife, you'll simp your daughter. If you can scrub your wife, you'll be a scrub to your daughter. A scrub to your sons. I'm just telling you the truth today. And a lot of people messed up now because their daddies was pimps, simps, and scrubs. Some of them were scared to stand up to the mama because she the one owned the house. She the one owned the car. He in there playing video games. Instead of getting up, getting a job, being a man. Stand up in your house for what's right. You know you don't like your daughter wearing that kind of stuff. You can't say nothing because you ain't got no voice in there. You the wife. And she the husband. But when you take care of your responsibility, and this your house, you can take care of the king. You can stand up in here and say what you need to say. Now, honey, I love you. And you don't like what I said because what I said is right. And you got to go. I see you and I wouldn't want to be you. Don't throw up the deuces out and let her roll on. But stand up and be a man so you can raise a man. So it can be some real men out here in the street. Stop bowing down. Being a coward. We equal. Yes, we are. The word says so. And there's a way to do anything. But you're not just going to come in here and let these kids just do what they see on MTV and BET and any other kind of T. They're not going to be in here watching TV. I got to give them some real stuff to do, some real assignments. I need you to know the word of God. Because if things get bad tomorrow and you can't get to a Bible, what will my children do? What will my children know? The school done messed them up. The public school system done messed them up because they wiping what God said in plan and purpose. They wiping that out. I got to train them at home the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart. And you got some silly women. I'm a woman. I know silly women when I see them. All women are not thoroughbreds. All women are not grown women. So they'll let your children get killed. He talked about that RCD. You want to be careful who you give your last name. You want to make sure when she trained, when you marry her and you have children, she going to train your children right. She going to sit up all day long looking at the young and the restless and all this old crazy stuff. But you're going to train your child. You're going to keep on them. And guess what? They're not going to tell you they're not going to college. Even if they have to take out a loan, they're going to go to college because you done instill that in them. When they come from college, they got something. They're going to go out and get a job while my daddy worked. And sometime I saw my mama work till she got sick or she wasn't able to work. You know, I saw her work. Then sometimes she didn't work because daddy said, no, I don't need to work and something going on here. I need to stay home watching these kids. But we wiping out everything that God put in place. And they replacing it with the things of the enemy. And how many know the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy? And that's what going to happen to America. If they wipe all the stuff that God put in purpose and plan out, it will be destroyed. Why? You ain't got no God. You ain't got no guidelines to go by. Anything go. You'll see people in the street fighting each other and killing each other. They raping folks on the back corner back here and don't care who see them. They snatching children and molesting them, the children a block away. Why? They remove purpose and plan God had. And he turned them over to a reprobate mind. And it don't just mean homosexuals. Huh? Mm-mm. We talk about the gay folks all day long, criticize them and put them down. But he's not just talking about gay people. He's talking about men who don't stand up. He's talking about women who can't follow good instructions. He's talking about women who, like he said, you want compliments more than being appreciated. I look. Boy, I got mirrors all through my house. I don't need you to tell me how I look. I bought the perfume myself. I smelled it before I bought it. I know how I smell. And when I do my hair and I do it right, I know the hair banging. You ain't got to tell me that. I looked at it in the mirror before I left home. You ain't playing on me, girl. You fine. Hey, Ma, what the foolishness? You not learning. You're not Abdullah. I know you're not Chavez and you can't be useless. So I'm not your mom. My boy. And I got a bunch of spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. Come with the foolishness. Stop being church people and stop being God people. Ask God to help you to be the saint of God. The saints of God don't just do any and every old thing, and we don't fall for any and every old thing. We stand up for what's right. And I know this new wave, new age group, they're not going to like me. Because they used to doing things they wear. They used to wearing anything, saying anything, going any kind of way because it's my thing. I do what I want to do. I see it so much. I see women 400 and 500 pounds with bikinis on, shaking it fast and watching themselves on TikTok. See, let me tell you something. Go on here. Now, when I see all that kind of stuff, I'm like, what happened to the minds of the people? They done told them it's your thing. Go on over there and do what you want. Can't nobody tell you nothing. And calling them haters. Babe, I'm trying to help you, sugar. You're looking ridiculous. Ooh. Yeah, that's what it makes you say, I. See, I'm not gonna read nothing else. You write. Go on. You're gonna make me scream. You're gonna make me holler. And I pray for these people. Believe it or not, I pray for their minds. The Lord, you would give them their mind back. Because some of the stuff I see is ridiculous. You let these people tell you this. My friend Derek Hudson said, you done ate your neck away. You don't even look like a human being. You look like a big blob. I'm telling you the truth. And you over there shaking it fast and watching yourself. Oh, my goodness. But they're removing the purpose and the plan of God. Well, I'm going to say they think they're doing it. And only fools falling for it. But wise people, they hold on to the purpose and the plan of God. The thing that God put into motion, that's what they stay with. The things he put into place, I should say. This is what we stay with. We don't play games. Listen, I'm going to pray us out this morning, and we pray that the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But check on Sunday at 3 p.m. and see if I'm doing a Bible study, because if I can get things taken care of, I'll do a Bible study. But right now I got a platter, and that platter really is running over. And some days I got to try to tuck things and do this to do whatever. And y'all keep me lifted in prayer if you can. And it will be all right today in Jesus' name. Look at Louis laughing. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Father, we thank you that your way is the right way. We thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan. You had one from the beginning. And Lord, you're almighty God, and nobody's removing your purpose and plan. Father, the heavens and earth will fall away, before one word, hallelujah, will fall short from you. You're God that you don't have to lie. You made the heavens and the earth. And Father, I come to you this morning on the behalf of women and men and those of us that say we're saved and we believe and you're in us and we're in you and in your word. God, I ask that you would strengthen us this morning, that we would stand up in you and not in an ugly way, but in a humble way, yet stand up all for the bloodstained banner. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you the praise this morning, asking that you would lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake today, not for ours, but for yours, Father. Ask this morning again that those that stand in the need of finances, Lord, many have bills, but the money don't add up. God, they have children, and they need to do things, but the money don't add up. I ask that you would multiply unto them today. Remind them to pay their tithes and offerings. God, remind them to plant a seed. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all today in Jesus' name. Bless our going out and bless our coming in. Meet the need again, Lord, this morning in our lives, according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise again and again and again. In Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend, starting August the 20th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. And Calvin, I'm going to your song. I hope you didn't go back to sleep yet, Calvin. I wasn't going to forget you this morning.
Little small house, big family. Seven kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord. Cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud. And I'm gonna take it. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole I told y'all I'm gonna make it.
I told y'all.
And when I